I know you guys missed that. You guys need that every morning. I can arrange it. I will record that for you so you can wake up every morning to good morning. Hey, let's all stand together, shall we? I can't help but be excited when we come together and worship. Lynn said she wanted the first copy. I'll get that to you right away. How are you guys doing this morning? Family. We are family. I'm not going to sing the song. I know what you're thinking. I won't do that to you. But you know what we are going to sing this morning with all of our hearts? We're going to worship our King, our Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. You with me on that this morning? Glory. All right, let's lift him up with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you now humbly, God. And Lord, we just want to lay it all down before you. God, we truly do. God, would you please help us with that, Lord Jesus? Sometimes, God, there are things that we don't see, Lord. Would you open the eyes of our heart this morning that we would see, God? And God, we would know and we would be able to lay it down and run into your arms, Lord Jesus. God, help us to do that. That, God, we can worship you in spirit and truth this morning, God. God, with hearts that are ready and willing, God, to listen and to hear and to receive. But God, this morning as we sing, that we would glorify God with our mouths, with our lips and our tongues, God, that they would bring glory to your name, Lord Jesus. We just give you thanks for how wonderful you are, God. And Lord Jesus, we're going to continue serving you, God, no matter what, God, until the day you come, Lord Jesus, because you are our strength, Lord Jesus. And your wonderful name, everybody agreed and said amen. Glory. And that's what we're going to sing this morning before we get, or when we get started here, is how we're not going to be afraid. And we're going to worship him with all of our hearts. Whom shall we fear, hey?
I will seek you, Lord, while I am in my youth. And I will trust you, Lord, while I proclaim your truth. For you searched and found me while I was far away. And in my troubled times, yeah, you always keep me safe. Oh, proclaim your truth. For you searched and found me when I was far away. In my troubled times, yeah, you always keep me safe. Oh, 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 oh.
All together, church body. Lord, with all of your hearts, listen to the words that you're singing. Just say, God, I'm not going to fear anything from this day forward, Lord Jesus. I'm going to step forth in truth and light. And God, I'm going to share your love with everyone I possibly can. And I'm not going to be ashamed. I'm not going to be scared. I'm not going to live in fear. I'm not going to be stumbled. I'm not going to be hindered. I'm going to live for you, my King, my King, my King. Well, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? Oh, the Lord is the stronghold of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? Well, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? Oh, the Lord is the stronghold of my life. Whom shall
cheer again will. And I will seek you, Lord, when I am in my end. I will trust you, Lord, I proclaim your truth. For you searched and found me when I was far away. In my troubled times, yeah, always keep me safe.
We're not going to fear, but we're going to live in His light, in His truth. We're not going to be ashamed to speak it wherever we go. Whether we're in the marketplace, whether we're in our very home, we're not going to be afraid to say the name of Jesus with conviction of truth, of knowing the difference. Amen? Hallelujah. We know that there's a difference in knowing the King and just knowing of Him, right? Hallelujah. Lord, we glorify you this morning, God.
Oh, 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 hallelujah, Lord. Oh, oh, oh.
Hallelujah. Let's give a clap offering of praise to Him. Glory, so worthy. Amen. And if we would at this time, let's greet one another out there this morning.
Doug comes up and gives announcements. Please stay tuned.
Hi, babe.
I'll intro you. Ladies and gentlemen, let's give a good round of applause.
Welcome, everybody. Good morning. Great to see you here at Pathway of Hope this morning. I want to run through a few of the upcoming events here at the church for you. First of all, if this is your first time here with us today, in your worship guide is a communication card. It looks like this. If you wouldn't mind filling this out with some of your vital information, and when the offering plate comes by towards the end of the service, if you wouldn't mind putting this in there so we can get a little bit of information about you and just let you know how much we appreciate you being here with us today. That would be great. This card's also useful if you've moved and you want to change your address, email address in our records, things like that. If you want to serve in any of the areas of the church, any of the ministries of the church, you can mark that and place place in the offering plate. We'd love to get you guys involved, plugged in. You can do that and place it in the offering plate at the end of the service. That would be great. Also in your worship guide are some of these pathway happening sheets. There's three or four of them in there. We got a lot of stuff going on at the church that we want you guys plugged in and involved in. This week, we have a women's Bible study on Monday night that meets at Karen Kelly's house. We have a Thursday night Bible study. We have for women, Thursday night Bible study for women. We have Wednesday. Is it Wednesday or Thursday for youth now?
Thursday.
Thursday is our youth group. Thursday night at the firehouse.
Yep.
At the firehouse on Golder Ranch, right around the corner there. So that's on Thursday night. Also Thursday morning, we have a men's Bible study that meets down at Krispy Kreme, down on down Oracle a ways. That's at 6 a.m. on Thursday morning. So guys, before you go to work, get up, get in the Word, get with some guys, fellowship a little bit, and then get off to work. It's a great opportunity. Also, this Saturday is the second Saturday of the month, so it's going to be our men's breakfast at Bash's, right around the corner up here, just across Golder Ranch. Then that's going to be at 7:30 next Saturday. So come on out and join me and fellowship with some of the guys and have a little Bible study. It's going to be a really good time. So make sure you read through all of your worship guide. There's so much in here. I don't have time to go through all of it, but there's a lot going on for women's ministries, for men, for kids. We have something for everybody here at Pathway of Hope. So we want you guys plugged in. We want you guys involved. Let's all stand together, shall we? We're going to actually go right into our ministry of prayer time of the service. If our prayer teams would move over here and be available to your left, if you have anything in your life that you need prayer for at all, come and be prayed for. We'd love to partner with you in prayer for the needs that are in your lives. I was away. I was out of town last week for Christmas, seeing some family in California, and we were in Sacramento at a hotel, and this hotel had an indoor swimming pool, and so took the kids swimming one night, and there was, Abby, who just turned six, is like a fish. You know, she gets in the water, and she just swims all over the place, and she's no problem at all. Isaac, who's about to turn three in February, last summer, he was in the pool just about every day, and he was learning how to swim, and he was getting the strokes down and everything. He was doing really, really well, but it's been about 6 months since he's been in a pool. So he was in the pool last week, and 6 months is a long time for a two-year-old, right? That's like a quarter of their life, you know? So it's been a long time since he's been in the pool, and he was kind of struggling, trying to remember how to scoop his hands and put his face under the water and all that, and I had him up on the steps of the pool, and I would back up a ways, and he would jump into the water, and he would swim out towards me, you know, and kick his feet, and each time I would get a little farther out, and he would jump in the water and swim out towards me, and you could tell that he was waiting for me to help him. You know, he would lift his face up out of the water, and he would start to panic a little bit, like, you know, he was going to go under, and I would help him. I would lift him up out of the water and keep him from going under, and each time he would do this, he would come a little farther each time, but each time he would just, you know, panic a little bit at the end, and I would lift him up out of the water. And a lot of the times, our lives are like that, right? Yeah. Feels like we're about to go under, and we don't know who to turn to for help. And the only person we can turn to is our Heavenly Father. The things we're going through in our lives, it feels like we're drowning sometimes. But Psalm 146 says this, starting in verse 5. Said, blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them, the Lord who remains faithful forever. He upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the alien and sustains the fatherless and the widow, and he frustrates the ways of the wicked. The Lord reigns forever. Your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. As we worship together in this ministry of prayer, let's just remember how great God is and how he's never going to let us drown. He's never going to let us fall. He's always there to lift us up. Let's worship together.
You.
step down into darkness, open my eyes and let me see. You let me see.
Pray this morning that this next song will be a song that we have on our hearts at all times. The words of these songs say, when all is said and done, and when everyone is gone, Lord, you're really all I want. We just make that our hearts this morning. That even though this world may crumble and fall, the Lord will never leave us and He'll always be there for us. Can we make Him our one true desire this morning, above all things? Help us to put aside those things, Lord, we pray as we worship You this morning.
All is said and done, and everyone is gone. Lord, You lead me all around. The best the world has just leaves me feeling numb. Lord, You lead me all around. All that I
the beginning.
God is said and done, everyone is gone. Lord, You're really all I want. When the best the world has just leaves me feeling numb. God, You're really all.
Sing that again. When all is said and done, Lord, You're all I want.
When all is said and done, Lord, You're all I want.
All that I long for,
all that I long for, all that I hope for, is just that sense of You come.
Oh,
more time, church family. Sing this together.
When all is said and done, Lord, you're all I want.
Just take a few moments in silence before our King. Just tell him in your heart how much you want him. We want more of you, Jesus. We want more of you in our lives. We want more of you in our hearts. We want more of you in our families. We want more of you in our career. We want more of you in every part of our lives. Fill us to overflowing with your Spirit. It's not enough what we have right now. We're hungry for more of you. Amen. Prayer teams, you can be seated. Worship team, thank you. You can be seated. Happy New Year, everybody. It's good to see you all here this morning. Since this is a new year, 2010, it's actually a new decade, 2010, I was praying about what... But what direction God would have us go this year, especially related to the messages and the sermons and the inkling that I got during my prayer over this first sermon series was beginnings, new beginnings. It's a new year. It's a new decade. It's a new beginning, a fresh start. That's what we can all have in our lives, is a fresh start, right? The things that have happened in the past, those are in the past. You know, we got to let the bad things of our past go and focus on what God has for us for the future. We got to let go of our guilt and our sin and our shame. We got to let go of our anxiety and our worry. And we just got to look ahead and say, God, what do you have for me this year? What do you have for me in 2010? So I got this series called New Beginnings. And we have a new verse that we're going to be memorizing for this sermon series. Paul, if you can start passing those out. The verse we're going to be memorizing during this sermon series is 2 Corinthians 5:17. A lot of you may already know this. If you do, that's great. It's a review. And if you don't, then this is a great verse to have in your memory bank so that you can pull it out when the devil comes against you in battle. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come." We all say that together. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. And this is a great verse to have memorized, to have ingrained in your brain, so that when the devil comes against you and tells you that you're worthless, tells you that you're not worthy of the name of Christ, you can come back at him and say, you know what? I'm not the same as I was before I was saved. I am a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. I've been remade into the image of Christ, and I am worthy to be called a Christian. God has called me into his family. And the devil, when you start spouting scripture at him, he will flee. He will run away because he cannot stand it. This is the verse that we're memorizing this year. And you can take those cards home and put them on your refrigerator, put them on your bathroom mirror, put them in your car, tape it to your steering wheel or something so that you'll see it every day and start to memorize it and get it ingrained in your brain so that you can pull it out when you need it. Okay? You do that? And we're going to be reviewing it here in the service over the next few weeks of this sermon series also. So I want to spend a few moments this morning breaking down this verse, talking about what it really means. You ever seen that show, What Not to Wear, on TLC? My wife loves this show. This is a show, there's these two people who are really into fashion, and they know, you know, all the styles and everything, and they take people that just have no style at all. They don't know how to dress, they don't know how to do their hair or makeup or anything, and they're just ugly people. And they take these people and they give them thousands of dollars to go shopping with, and they send them off shopping. They teach them how to shop. They teach them what to look for and the styles to buy and all this. And then they send them to a hairdresser to do their hair, and they send them to a makeup person to do their makeup. And they come out looking all beautiful, and they send them off back to their friends after 5 days. And their friends are gathered in this meeting room. I love her dress. Oh, look at that. She looks completely different. Oh, she looks so beautiful, you know, and it's just this big party at the end. But that's kind of what we're talking about. You're being a new creation. And my wife loves this show. She keeps threatening to videotape me and try to get me on the show when they do a guy version of it or something. But I just let her dress me. I just say, honey, tell me what to wear. I don't care. So let's talk a little bit about this verse. In 2 Corinthians, Paul, the Apostle Paul, is writing these words to the church in the city of Corinth. And it's really interesting because he, incidentally, is the epitome of what this verse represents, right? Because if you know the story of Paul, he was a horrible, horrible person before he was saved. He was a Pharisee, a religious freak, religious to the point of the following the law, not following God. But he was this religious freak who thought that Christians were to be hunted down. And he spent all his time, he spent all his energy and passion hunting down Christians and throwing them in prison or worse, having them killed, whatever he could do to keep them from telling other people about Jesus. That's what he devoted his life to. Was hunting down these people that called themselves Christians. And then God got a hold of him. And when God got a hold of him, he transformed him into this dynamic, evangelistic missionary, one of the greatest missionaries in the New Testament of the early church. And he was all the passion and devotion and fervor that he was throwing into hunting these people down early in his life, he then threw all that passion and fervor into telling people about Jesus and convincing them to turn their lives over to Christ. He is the epitome of this verse. A new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. And when you become a Christian, you are transformed into the likeness of Christ. Now, like I said, it's a process. Like I said a few weeks ago when I was talking about be holy because I am holy. It's a process that God is taking us through to make us more and more like Jesus. But there will be a change when you're saved. You will see that this immediate transformation, creation, a new creation. So let's talk a little bit about this verse. First of all, let's look at the first word. In this verse, I'm not going to break the verse down word by word, but I want to look at the first word of this verse, which is therefore. And whenever you see a therefore in a verse, you got to figure out what it's there for. So to do that, you look at the context of the verse. You look at the verses around it. And so if we look at verses 15 and 16 of 2 Corinthians 5. You can read this in your Bibles if you like. He says, "And he," talking about Jesus, "died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come." So, two things we can take from the context of this verse. First of all, we now realize, because Jesus died and rose again, we now realize that Jesus was not just a man, but he was God in human form. And because Jesus died for us and paid that penalty for our sins, like verse 15 says, we should no longer live for ourselves, but we should be living for him. Before we were Christians, we were living for ourselves. But after we give our lives to Christ, then we're living for him. And everything we do should reflect that. Everything we do in our lives should have an eternal viewpoint. How does this affect God's kingdom? How does this affect eternity? Everything we do, at work, in our family, in our ministry, at church, but not just at church, in every area of our lives. How does this affect eternity? Because we're a new creation. It's like me, you know, I have this job outside of the church. I work down at Raytheon Missile Systems during the week and taking care of their computers and stuff like that. But I'm very vocal with people down there who ask me about it. That job has no eternal significance whatsoever. You know, I'm basically keeping the computers up so that they can build bombs to blow up buildings in Iraq, you know. No eternal significance whatsoever to that job. But here, oh man, this affects God's kingdom. This affects eternity right here. This, if I could do this full time, man, that'd be awesome. You know, that's my goal. That's where I want to get to, is to be full-time pastor. That job doesn't affect eternity. I can make it affect eternity by how I act there, how I interact with people there. I can turn that into affecting eternity. But the job itself doesn't have eternal significance. So everything you do, how does it affect eternity? Your job, your family. Are you praying with your family, leading them in devotions, men, as spiritual leaders of the home? Are you praying with your wives and your kids? That's eternity, man. That's eternity. So because Jesus died for us and we no longer regard things with a worldly perspective, we regard things from the perspective of eternity. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Look at the next word in the verse. If. You don't think I could do much with the word if, do you? Watch this. There are two kinds of promises from God in the Bible. There are absolute promises, and there are conditional promises. Okay? Absolute promises from God are no contingencies on our part whatsoever. What God says, he will do. For instance, an example of that is Joshua 1:9. "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." That's an absolute promise. God will be with you wherever you go. So you don't have to be afraid. It's an absolute promise from God. Then there are conditional promises. And those are promises that depend on something that we do. It's like an if-then. For instance, 2 Chronicles 7:14. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land. That's a conditional promise from God. If my people will seek my face and call on me, then I will forgive their sins and heal their land. Something that you do impacts something that God is able to do. It's a conditional promise. And that's what this is. That's what this verse is. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. So if you are in Christ, and that's the next section I want to look at, is if anyone is in Christ, this is the contingency. And that is, you need to be a Christian. And you need to be a Christian who is actively seeking after him. That means that you are in Christ. If you are saved and you are actively seeking after him, trying to cultivate that relationship that you have with him, trying to build on it, grow it, chasing after God. If you do that, if you are doing that, then you are a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. You've got to be chasing after God. And that's why I'm excited about this small group series that we're going to be starting towards the end of January called God Chasers, based on a book by Tommy Tenney. And I want as many people as possible plugged into one of these Bible studies as we can. We're going to have them on multiple nights of the week. And I just love this book. It's all about passion. It's about the passion of seeking, of chasing God. Trying to catch God in your life, wanting more and more of him, being hungry for more and more of him in your life. So we're going to be starting that towards the end of January. If you guys want to plan some nights that are free for you. If anybody's interested in hosting the Bible study, I'm sure we could use more hosts. Karen's going to be hosting one at her house, and we're going to be hosting one at our place. And I'm sure we could use more hosts if everybody wants to. Evelyn, all right, Jonathan, Evelyn. So I'm sure we could use more. Dick and Lynn, great. So we'll have lots of nights available, whatever fits your schedule. We'll have a small group that fits your schedule, I guarantee it. So that's great. So I'm excited about this series coming up. But it's all about chasing after God. And if you are in Christ, if you're actively chasing after him, then you're a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. Look at the word anyone also. If anyone is in Christ, that means this is available to everybody. Anyone. Yes. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how horrible you think the things that you've done in your life happen to be. Look at Paul. This guy was a murderer. He was a hypocrite. And God still saved him and used him for mighty things for the kingdom. Anyone is in Christ. He's a new creation. You're never beyond saving. So if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Let's look at that phrase. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit comes inside us to transform us, to make us more and more like him. We're a new creation. And this transformation, like I said earlier, is a process. It's a process of being made more and more like Christ. And it's a day-to-day thing. Today, I'm a new creation from what I was yesterday. Because I'm a little more like Christ today than I was yesterday. Right? So every day, you're transformed a little bit more if you're seeking after God, if you're chasing God. You're a little bit more like him every day. So you are, daily, a new creation. That's exciting, isn't it? Because the things that tripped us up yesterday don't have to trip us up today. Yeah, even if you were a Christian yesterday and you struggled with something, you are a new creation today. You can be set free from that thing. You're a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. That's what I'm calling this series, New Beginnings, right? We're no longer bound by our sin nature inside us. The old is gone. The new has come. The sin nature is still there, warring with the Holy Spirit that's in there also. You know, there's a constant battle going on inside of every one of us. But now we have a choice. We don't have to give in to that sin nature. God wants to continue to transform us. The old has gone. The new has come. We're not going to be perfect till we get to heaven. But every day, we're a little bit more like Jesus. The old is gone. The new has come. Right? This verse obviously applies to each one of us as individuals. But I believe that this verse also applies to us as a church. Pathway of hope. The past 6 months since Pastor Johnny left and I took over as senior pastor have been a transitional period for us, I believe. God has been reshaping us. God's been building us up. He's been leading us towards something really special. And I think, I know, that 2010 is going to be a special year for Pathway of Hope. God has some amazing things that he wants to do in our church. I had this vision when I accepted the senior pastor role of the Holy Spirit running wild through our church. You know, like a wind. And that's I believe that's going to happen. God shows up on Sundays. He does. But he's going to show up in such vibrant ways, in such awe-inspiring ways on Sunday mornings. People are going to hear the name Pathway of Hope, and they're going to say, God is there. God, that church, that's not just a bunch of people getting together on Sunday morning. God shows up on Sunday mornings at that church. God has something amazing for us. We've got to be willing and able to move towards it. He's been preparing us for that up until now. Now it's time for God to really move in our church. Some things that can hold that back are personal sin in people's lives. The sin, just like Achan in the book of Joshua, personal sin can impact the whole body. If you have sin in your life, get rid of it. Confess it, move on, get rid of it. Because God wants to do something special. And that could be holding him, that could be impacting what he's able to do here. Confess your sin and get out of there. You know, confess your anger. Confess your lust. Confess your anything that you have in your life, your doubt, your worry. Give it up to God. Confess it. Get it out of your life. Whatever it takes. God will do something special, a Pathway of Hope. There's going to be healings at Pathway of Hope. There's going to be people slain in the Spirit at Pathway of Hope. There's going to be amazing things. There's going to be people saved at Pathway of Hope. As I was praying about the coming year at Pathway, God gave me a word for our church for 2010. And that word is believe. Believe. We've got to believe God for the things that he wants to do in our church. We've got to believe God that he wants us in a building that we can have access to 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Pathway of Hope will have a home. We got to believe God for that. We got to believe God for healings in our church. Tally, I believe that God's going to heal your sight. Believe God for children for people that want them and can't have them. Believe God for healing our marriages, for those of us who are struggling. Believe God for freedom from sin and guilt. Believe God. Believe what God wants to do in this church, and believe what God wants to do in each one of your lives. We're going to be hearing this word a lot this year. Believe. I believe that God has given us an amazing group of people here at this church. And I believe he's going to grow this church. And I believe he's going to transform lives through Pathway of Hope. Do you believe? Let's take it home. Let's apply it in our daily lives. Let's keep that word on our mind's eye. Believe. Everything you're going through in your life, the struggles, the financial difficulties, people are out of work, people are struggling, health problems, marriage problems, whatever it is in your life, believe that God can transform those situations for his glory. Believe that God will lead you through them. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are blessed to call you our Savior. And we know, Lord, that you have an awesome plan for our church, and you have an awesome plan for each one of our individual lives this next year. Lord, I pray that we will be able to put the things of the past behind us and be able to focus on what you have for us this year. We praise you, Father, for your grace and your mercy and your provision. In Jesus' name, amen. We're also going to worship the Lord right now with his tithes and our offerings while we sing our closing song. Heavenly Father, I just pray for these tithes and offerings. You would bless them, multiply them, grow our church, Lord. Provide for us in Jesus' name, amen.
We just stand to our feet. The Bible says if we have faith the size of a mustard seed, we can move a mountain. Let's think of the size of that mustard seed right now. That's a pretty tiny thing. How many believe that here at Pathway of Hope we can have faith the size of a mustard seed and beyond to move mountains for the King of Kings when we have him inside of us? Amen? And nothing to fear. You believe that, church? Let's sing this together. I will see you. And I will see you, Lord. I am in my youth, and I will trust you, Lord. Yes, I'll proclaim your truth, for you searched and found me. I was far away, and in my troubled times, your voice keep me safe.
This morning with a verse we're going to be hearing a lot of this year, I think, because it ties right into the word believe. Ephesians 3:20 and 21. That of him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his glorious riches, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. You're dismissed.